Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Steel Dragon 4 by Kevin McLaughlin and Michael Anderley, narrated by Emily Beresford. Part 1. Chapter 1. Even though Kristen hadn't visited her parents in a while, it still felt like coming home. The smell of her mom's lasagna from the front porch and the color of the maple tree in the front yard in early fall brought a wash of nostalgia. Her brother's face smirked at her through the windows, vanished, and reappeared as if to make her think he was a ghost, like he had done when they were kids. Okay, so remember, let me do the talking. My parents have lived in this house for 40 years, Kristen told Stonequest as they approached the front door. They won't take this easily. He smiled indulgently at her.
Well, I'll be. I've seen you face multiple dragons, mages armed with machine guns, and even the Dragon Council itself. But I don't think I've ever seen you scared. Are your parents so bad as if to frighten the Steel Dragon herself?
Just don't step on my mom's flowers, okay?
Noted.
And wipe that stupid grin off your face. Stonequest obliged and replaced his smile, that had steadily become goofier and goofier, with the face he used to interrogate hostile witnesses.
Better?
He grunted for effect. No, it's better if you merely smile normally. No, not like that. You know what? Do whatever you want with your face, as long as you keep your mouth shut.
Am I allowed to eat, Investigator?
He asked. I'll let you know if you earn the privilege, she retorted, not at all amused with him at the moment. She rang the doorbell twice and opened the door before anyone could answer.
Hey, Kristen, Brian said from the living room.
Kristen was surprised to see that he wasn't burrowed into the couch. Instead of a fine dusting of cheese crumbs from a flavored chip product, her brother was coated in sweat. His face was red, not from getting himself worked up defeating an opponent online, but from doing squat push-ups? Brian, are you all right? She asked, beyond confused. Her brother normally complained about putting away the groceries, but was now working out in the living room?
I'm fine, he replied breathlessly. Good form, kid, Stonequest said, and Brian beamed. I'll go hit the showers, he said, a little too nonchalantly.
Sounds good, Brian, their mom said, and unable to help herself, she added, seeing as how we have so many in our locker room, I hope you're able to find a stall.
A pleasure to see you again, Mrs. Hall, Stonequest said, and bowed cordially before the woman, like she was a member of the Dragon Council. It is always a pleasure to be reminded where Kristen gets all her snark.
Marty smiled and extended her hand for him to take it and kiss it as he'd done before. But when he took it, she pinched his fingers and rapped his knuckles with her other hand. I've told you before to call me Marty. Mrs. Hall was my mother-in-law.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, yes, Marty, he said, and looked embarrassed for either being admonished or for a woman at the high end of middle age being able to move quickly enough to slap his hand.
Before Kristen could think of something snarky to say to him that wouldn't earn a tongue-lashing for implying her mom was slow, Frank Hall appeared.
Chrissy, sweetie,
he exclaimed, a big grin on his round red face. Dad! She went to hug him, but he put his hands on her shoulders instead and studied her intently.
Where is it? He demanded.
Where's what?
Oh, come on, Chrissy. I've heard the rumors, but I have to know if it's true. You know I've only ever seen one 3 times. 30 years in the Force, and I barely ever meet a dragon. Now, my daughter is one of their highest-ranking officers.
Right, sorry. She pulled her jacket back to show him her badge. His eyes brimmed with tears when he saw the 7-pointed star with the stylized, slitted eye of a dragon in the middle.
Oh, Kristen, Frank said, choked up. It's beautiful. It's truly beautiful. I know you don't need to hear it from the old man who changed your diapers and learned how to take care of your curly red hair, but I'm so proud of you, sweetie.
He wrapped her in a hug, and she let the world fall away so she could be held by her daddy. That he was her adopted dad and had taken the place of the dragon who had sired her meant the world to her. Frank Hall was her father. He was the reason she had become a police officer, and the reason she thought one girl with curly red hair could make the world a better place. It felt better to be hugged by him and told he was proud of her than it had felt when Windlock had given her the badge. Windlock. Kristen still didn't know how to think about the old investigator without being overcome with emotion. He was dead, and she couldn't help but think that if she'd only been a little quicker, a little more clever, or slightly more persuasive with Constance, he'd still be there.
Kristen,
Stonequest said simply when she pulled away from her dad. She nodded. It had only been a week since Windlock had died, but that was still more than enough time for Stonequest to be able to tell when her aura was focused on him. At first, it had been annoying, but right now she appreciated the reminder to not let herself sink into despair at the loss of a friend and mentor. You should be crying, Marty snapped, and ripped Kristen's thoughts away from two men she'd worked so hard to make proud. Mom? Do you have any idea how much stress you've put us through? We follow the news, you know. We heard about your fight in Canada and some mess on a farm near here, and now the tabloids say you prevented a war from happening. Tell me they made that one up, young lady.
No, ma'am, her companion said. Your daughter is a hero.
And I suppose you think that's a good thing? The woman jabbed him in the chest with such force he looked as he'd been struck by a dragon bullet.
Ma'am?
I spent my whole life worrying about Frank, and she became a cop. But at least she had steel skin. Then you dragons come along and whisk her off to the only job that could endanger her. Stonequest was stunned into silence, but Kristen had far more experience with her mom. That's not the case anymore, Mom, she said. Oh, here we go, Marty countered with a snort.
Can we at least sit and eat before we get into all this? Brian said. Working out makes me even hungrier than video games used to. I think that's a great plan, son. Marty?
Frank took his wife's arm, planted a massive wet kiss on her cheek, and escorted her into the kitchen. Dinner was pleasant enough for about 10 minutes. The lasagna was great, the garlic bread almost offensively garlicky, exactly as Kristen liked it, and the salad delicious. Her parents carried the conversation as they ate, during which her dad asked her about work, and her mom told them about her garden rather than asking more about her daughter's dangerous adventures. Brian made a few wisecracks, exactly like he always did. But there was something about him that was different. He was more quiet than usual and didn't snipe at her, which made her want to check his pulse and make sure he hadn't been replaced by a robot. Stranger still, when he reached for seconds, it was only for more salad.
So, Frank said, having had his fill of updates, what's next for the Steel Dragon?
Actually, that's why I'm here, Kristen said, straightened, and looked at each of her family members in turn. We stopped the Technomages from starting a war, but that doesn't mean our fight is over.
Well, duh,
Brian rolled his eyes.
He only took out one cell.
Exactly. She nodded despite the snark, before she stared at her brother more closely. How did you know that?
It's kind of obvious, right?
He shrugged.
They're terrorists and rely on small, dispersed, disconnected cells so they can appear to be a larger force than they really are. It doesn't make sense that she'd try to take on the whole world of dragons with only 8 mages. I could do that kind of shit in World of Warcraft, but this isn't a video game. That's surprisingly perceptive of you, Stonequest said. Although I have never heard of this Warcraft world. Is it on this continent?
Brian laughed and seemed almost giddy under the dragon's praise. No one else shared his humor. Kristen's father looked grim but resigned, like a cop ordered to go into a hostile situation. Her mom looked downright ornery. What do you mean the fight's not over? Marty asked after an awkward moment of silence. How many times do you have to save the world? As many times as it takes, Mom, she said. And immediately wished she hadn't said a damn thing.
Kristen has been tasked with a mission directly from the Full Dragon Council. It's an honor, Stonequest said,
before he added in a slightly more dour tone,
"And a duty." "What does that mean, Chrissy?" Frank asked. "Will you be out of town for a while?"
"Yeah, but that's not quite why I'm here. We're building a fighting force to target the cells in their lairs, eliminate them, destroy the dragon bullets, and free my captive biological siblings." "Your siblings?" Marty looked aghast.
"That's where they've obtained the materials for dragon bullets. They've taken dragon prisoners?"
Brian nodded as if he had put the pieces together.
"Very perceptive,"
Stonequest all but purred again. Kristen wanted to agree, but was again confused with her brother's level of knowledge. They hadn't been able to keep it a secret that the lethal dragon bullets were made of dragon pieces. By this point, too many remnants had been found, primarily in the battlefield where she had engaged the mages in Canada and saved Amy. But the media had promoted the story that the mages had taken these bullets from the dragons they killed. For Brian to see through that was unexpected. But it was something to ask about later, not right now. Their lives were too important. "These are lethal enemies. We're not talking robbers or crooks or whatever else. We're talking people who will not hesitate to use my family against me."
"They wouldn't be the first," Brian said, and anger crept into his voice.
"I know, and I'm sorry. Both for the home invaders and for when you were abducted, Brian."
"It's fine," he said, his voice almost a shout. "I had to grow up sometime."
In any other context, she might have been proud of her brother, but the venom with which he said it made her fear she'd lost the carefree brother she'd fought so hard to protect. "I can't let that happen again, and if you stay here, it will happen," she finished.
"We don't think it's a question of if, but when," Stonequest added somberly.
Her parents shared a look. "We're not leaving," Marty said. "Not after everything we've done to this house. This is our home, and I won't give up my garden for a group of terrorists." "Dad, please, listen to reason," Kristen begged.
"Your mother's right, Chrissy. This is our home, and we've made a life here. We even have decent neighbors. We won't run away. Not now and not ever."
"Dad, it's not safe."
"Kristen, I had a job that was not safe for 30 years. Do you think I forgot how to handle a gun when I retired?"
"Dad, these are mages!"
"Do you think I give a shit who these fuckers are?"
Her dad's voice rose and his face reddened alarmingly.
"I've lived in this house for 41 years. 41 years! Do you think I'll let a robe-wearing terrorist come in here and take me quietly?"
Frank thumped his fist on the table and all the dishes clinked. Still, he didn't stop.
"They're only people, Chrissy. They invade my property in America? I'll show them my favorite amendment."
Frank, calm down.
"Damn it, Marty, I will not calm down," he said, and stood abruptly. "These terrorist mage fuckers think they can remake the whole goddamn world, and I won't have any part of it." "Dad, have some water," Brian said.
He'd stood as well, and now put a glass of water in front of his father, his expression imploring. Frank looked at the water, seemed to notice how heavily he was breathing, and sat slowly.
"The water, Frank?"
Marty raised her eyebrows to emphasize her point.
"Right, sorry. Water."
He reached for the cup, but stopped to take a little vial out of his shirt pocket.
"Brian, tell Kristen about your new workout regimen,"
he said, as if that would distract her from what she'd seen.
"Dad, what are those?"
"What, these? These are nothing. Only a little nitroglycerin. Good for the heart and all that. Didn't I tell you? It's not a big deal, honestly. A precaution, like a vitamin." "Dad, your water," Brian said.
Frank nodded and popped a pill under his tongue before he took a sip of water.
"How long has this been going on?"
Kristen asked, and tried not to make it sound like a demand. Her father shrugged, but Brian answered.
"He's been on those since we were held at gunpoint in the house. Not right after."
"Frank, the doctor told you not to argue," Marty said.
And he nodded, took deep breaths, and let the red leach from his face.
"He began to have chest pain soon after, went to the doctor, and now he's on a collection of pills,"
her brother said, and looked at Kristen like it was her fault.
Oddly, he also looked guilty for looking at her that way.
Is this true?
She asked her parents. Their silence told her everything she needed to know.
This only proves my point even more. I want you guys safe, not having health issues from the stress because of me.
The idea of the stress of being her family making her dad physically ill struck her like a baseball to the chest. She felt guilt, terror, resentment, and rage all at once in a massive tangled knot in her gut.
I want you guys safe. Living in fear is not safe.
And you think staying in a hotel and moving every few weeks is safe?
Marty demanded. She sounded much like Kristen when she demanded things, thus proving that many traits were taught, not inherited.
We tried that, Kristen. It was hell.
It sounds like hell,
Stonequest interjected. All four pairs of hall eyes settled on the dragon, and he withered as if he were surrounded by a team of dragons and mages rather than humans and his dragon partner.
I'm only saying I don't know why you would do that again.
He raised his hands in surrender.
Because your boss is demanding it of us, Marty yelled.
Mom, calm down. If you have to start taking pills too, I'll lose it,
Brian said.
Oh, please. If your father had eaten half the salads I've put on this table for all these years, he wouldn't have any of these problems.
Damn it, Marty. We are not going to talk about the food right now. You bake a good chicken and fry a good pork chop. How is it my fault I like your cooking?
Frank shouted, and grew as red as a beet again. This time he caught himself, though, sat again, and breathed deeply.
I'm only saying it would make more sense for all of you to leave the country. A hotel in Detroit is hardly a great way to keep you safe,
Stonequest said placatingly.
And where would we go?
Marty demanded, her words like knives.
Well, why not go to Kristen's villa in the south of France?
Again, all four halls turned to him with some form of confusion in their expressions.
Her villa? It's rather nice. At least it was the last time I visited.
He shrugged.
Stonequest? I don't have a villa. I've never even been to France, Kristen said.
Oh? Pardon me. I assumed Windlock had taken you there. It's quite lovely.
Kristen, Marty all but purred. However did you fail to mention that you own a villa in the south of France? You know your father and I honeymooned in Europe. We never made it back.
Well, why not go now?
Stonequest asked and beamed. Kristen could feel his aura working too, but she didn't fault him for it.
It might make a wonderful place to vacation for a while. Only until all this is cleared up, anyway.
Her parents shared another look, their faces thoughtful rather than angry and obstinate.
What do you say, Marty?
I've always wanted to visit the southern coast of France, she replied and batted her eyelashes. Why didn't you tell us you had a house there, Chrissy?
I didn't know.
She smiled weakly. The depth and scope of the wealth she'd inherited from Windlock was staggering to her. She had seen an estate outside Detroit and a vast trove of old treasures and assumed, like any sane human being, that had been the extent of his wealth.
Oh, it's quite lovely, Stonequest said again. And I know a few dragons in the area as well. I can arrange a security detail that won't even look out of place. What does everyone say?
Marty and Frank beamed, and relief washed over her. At least until Brian stood and thumped his dishes into the sink.
I'm not running away.
He looked as angry as Kristen had ever seen him, and almost like he was ready to take a dragon on with his bare hands. She wondered what he had in mind. Chapter 2. The rest of dinner passed amicably enough, if only because Stonequest continued to divulge more details of Windlock's, now Kristen's, villa in France. Marty seemed happy enough about it, although when she glanced at her, she could still see bitterness in her mother's eyes. She felt bad about making them go, but at least they'd agreed to it. That left her wondering what exactly Brian was thinking. He'd declined dessert, which made her think he must have cancer or was a robot or something. But her parents didn't react negatively. Frank even congratulated the boy on staying strong while he served himself a second portion of chocolate and peanut butter brownies with ice cream.
Kristen took her bowl and gestured for Brian to follow her into the backyard, while Stonequest continued to woo her parents.
"Are you excited for France, Brian?"
she asked, and tried to sound as friendly as she could, despite his earlier outburst.
"You've lost weight. Keep it up, and I'm sure some French girls will be quite interested."
"I've lost, like, 12 pounds. Nothing to be proud of. Not yet."
He paused, then looked her in the eye and squared his jaw.
"I don't want to go to France with Mom and Dad."
Kristen nodded. He'd made that much clear.
"Why not? I know I haven't been to this villa, but Stonequest makes it sound great. Plus, if you stay here..."
She swallowed and cleared her throat.
"I can't let anything happen to you again. Can you please go so I'll know you're safe?"
Brian responded with a question of his own.
"Will you be safe if I leave?"
She didn't mean to, but she recoiled reflexively at the absurdity of the question.
"Of course I won't be safe, Brian. No one will be safe until we root out all these technomage cells and make sure none of them do something that finally pisses the dragons off enough to start burning cities."
"So, you're saying I should simply sit on the sidelines, waiting for the world to burn, while my little sister does all the hard work and takes all the risks? What if the dragons decide to burn Detroit?"
"That's why I don't want you to stay here."
Her frustration mounted, but she tried to keep her tone level.
"So I should leave, while all our neighbors stay behind and risk being incinerated if all this blows up?"
"I know you're not asking me to send the neighborhood to France," Kristen replied, and took a deep breath to help her stay calm, something she knew annoyed her brother. "But what are you proposing?"
"I want to help you. Not only you, but your army or force or whatever you guys are."
"Brian, I don't think that's a good idea."
"Please, hear me out,"
he replied, and sounded eager for the first time since they'd come outside.
"After what happened with Obscura..."
"I am still so sorry about that," she interjected.
"Would you please shut up and cool it with your aura for 5 minutes?"
Brian snapped in response.
"Sure, right."
"Being abducted and almost killed by a dragon in a fucking LARP version of Pac-Man kind of put things in perspective for me," Brian said. "I used to think all this..."
He gestured to the backyard, the trees, and the neighbor's boat.
"Didn't matter. I thought life was only about experiencing things, and I could experience almost anything in a video game. Hell, I thought I could experience things better than real life in a video game. I used to want to be a master of the digital world. That's where the most competitive people are these days. Or at least that's what I thought until Obscura showed up."
Kristen tried to smile, but she couldn't stop the tears from flowing down her cheeks. It was like watching her brother age 10 years in a single conversation.
"None of it feels real anymore. I guess because none of it is," he continued. "I want more than I used to. I want to be a part of something that matters, and I can't think of anything more important than helping my sister stop a war and maybe end human and dragon segregation. I know I'm only a regular human, but you have other regular humans on your new team too, right?"
"Yeah," she sniffed. "But they're cops. They've all trained for years. You've never even been to the shooting range with Dad. I hate to say it, but you'd be a liability. If you were killed, I'd never forgive myself. I can't let you throw your life away for nothing. And if you got in a firefight with these mages, that's all you'd be doing."
She tried to wipe her eyes.
"Damn it, Kristen. Why are you crying?"
"I'm sorry."
She swiped furiously at her cheeks and grimaced.
"I had really grown to appreciate you being a gamer."
"What? Why?"
"Because I knew you'd be safe as long as you had a high-speed connection. I thought Mom and Dad would fight me on getting them to leave, but that you'd go for it as long as I could get you somewhere with an Ethernet jack."
Brian laughed grimly at this, as his eyes welled with tears.
"You can't protect me forever, you know. Plus, I'm your older brother. I'm supposed to protect you."
"I'm a dragon, Brian!"
"It doesn't matter," he replied. "I bet the internet in the south of France sucks."
"It might be good,"
she said, simply for the sake of arguing with her brother.
"It doesn't matter, Kristen. I don't care about that anymore. I want to help. And you're right, by the way. I'm not ready for field work.
Shit, compared to the rest of you guys, I don't know if I'll ever be ready for fieldwork.
He laughed as he grasped his big round belly and jiggled it. Kristen eyed it surreptitiously. He had lost weight, and given the fact that she'd seen him both working out and eating healthier, it seemed like he'd lose much more. But he was right. He was in no shape for fieldwork.
What exactly were you thinking if it wasn't being shot at by a group of mages?
Brian chuckled.
Something more on the intel side. I could help gather some of the information you'll need if you plan to strike the Texas cell first. Although, I'm sure you've considered the one in South America, too.
She nodded. We'll raid Texas first, I think. Then Colombia, because we think that might be the only cell in South America. The words trailed off, and she looked at him. She was so used to talking about operations with her people that she didn't notice that he had casually dropped a fair amount of confidential intelligence into the conversation.
Brian, how the fuck did you know about the mage cells in Texas and Colombia?
Internet, he retorted smartly with a dorky smile.
That doesn't even begin to explain it,
Kristen replied, concerned that her intelligence might be compromised. Had Brian found a back door into their computers or something? If he had, maybe others had.
Did you hack us?
He smiled.
Yeah, I'm sure hacking someone's new boss is a great way to get a job.
While she liked that he called her a boss and not his sister, he frowned at him saying he'd hacked her.
No, I didn't hack you guys. I tried, though, and I probably could have, but their whole server's not even connected to the internet at large.
That explains why the Wi-Fi at work sucks,
Kristen mumbled quietly, before she snapped her attention to her brother.
Seriously, how did you do it? If you want to work for me, I need to know your methods.
Well, you've never really been that discreet. I read about what happened at Fort Drum. Granted, it was in some of the darker corners of the internet. And that farm with the super obvious name? Deep Health Ranch was all over the news when they began to excavate to dig a dragon out, of all things. With those two as data points, I started looking for correlations. It seemed like checking industrial farms with a strong focus on meat was a good place to start. I ran searches on the shipping records of dozens of farms. Like, seriously, a ton. I especially looked for shipments that went to military bases. There's a ranch in Texas, you see, that sent shipments to Fort Hood. That by itself isn't crazy weird. Soldiers gotta eat, and soldiers like bacon. But the ranch never sent anything until a couple of weeks ago. And now they're sending regular shipments.
Kristen laughed.
Wow, Brian. I gotta say, I'm impressed. How did you know about Colombia?
Brian's smile broadened.
I didn't. You told me.
But you mentioned the South American base.
I assumed they'd have cells on most continents, and that South America would be the easiest for them to supply, and for you to strike. I had thought Brazil, though.
Another laugh bubbled. It was a good thing he wanted to work for her and not a newspaper.
I'm impressed you found all that on the internet.
I've become good at ferreting out leads like that. It turns out being a gamer wasn't a total waste of time. Many of us found out how to find hidden content or download weird links from odd corners of the internet. I agree with you that I'm not a good candidate for field ops. But do you have someone to manage the back end of things? I kind of envisioned myself being someone like Overwatch from that show Arrow. I can help you find targets, and during actual operations, I can provide up-to-the-minute intel. Also, I can help you with GPS tracking, cameras, and maybe hack a cell phone here and there or a CCTV system.
You mean you want to be like Felicity?
Kristen grinned. The amount of time he had talked shit about that show must have numbered in the hundreds.
Certainly more times than there were episodes.
Okay, I used her code name because I thought it was cooler. Plus, Overwatch is a video game I totally kick ass at, so...
He shrugged.
Yeah, we won't call you Overwatch, that's for sure. But, well, I'm impressed. I think this could work. You could be like our Alexa or Siri.
No, that is not what I had in mind.
He held his hands up, but she could already see it had gotten under his skin.
Yeah, we could use you. How about Jarvis?
No way! Cortana?
That reference is like 20 years old.
Zed?
You mean from Power Rangers? Isn't he bad?
Brian asked, although he didn't sound like he hated it. Yeah?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?